5:07 on the Central Coast. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton, kicking off the 5 o'clock hour on this Friday, July 19th, 2019. Stay with us, please. During the 6 o'clock hour, it's Last Call, our Friday night open line. And stick around this hour. This is going to be good. A lot of you on your way to the Mid-State Fair, you see Billy Idol, more power to you. A lot of you are just trying to get home. And the traffic is bad, isn't it? I've been here going on 33 years, and I am amazed as to how traffic has changed. And from time to time, we do a segment where people call in and they bitch about traffic. Let's take a different perspective today. We're going to talk with somebody who studies traffic and teaches traffic and researches traffic, and that's his thing. Making his first appearance on this broadcast, we say good afternoon and welcome to Cal Poly professor. He teaches in civil engineering. His focus is traffic studies, Dr. Anurag Pandey. Dr. Pandey, nice to meet you.
Thanks, Dave. Good afternoon.
Thanks for coming in. And I want to make it clear, you're not here as an official spokesperson for Cal Poly, but you also, in addition to your research and your background teaching, you also have a role in community engagement, don't you?
Yes, I do. I serve as the faculty director for community engagement and service learning at Cal Poly, and as such, I want to have campus be more engaged in community issues. And what I try to do is have our classes be, I want to have our courses to have projects that are focus of the community, there are issues in the community, and also maybe working with some nonprofit organizations in the community. So how can we bring in some projects in the classroom that serve a real need in our communities?
You've been here 12 years?
11 years now. Okay. Yeah, almost
okay.
11 years.
Almost, okay. And most of that time you spent driving the grade from here to Atascadero?
Yeah. I used to live in Atascadero starting 2010 to 2018 November. So I moved to San Luis only like 6 months, 7 months, 8 months ago. So I drove on the grade all the time. And I personally have seen the traffic change over that time. Yeah. The grade congestion, I wouldn't call it terrible by any stretch. It's not bad with, three lanes up going up the grade and down the grade. It's okay. What I did notice was that, I work in the area of traffic safety. I look at the national crash databases and looking at the number of crashes and how the number of crashes are going down for a while. And then starting 2014, I would say the number of crashes started going up again. And funny thing is that I started noticing these long jams every so often, more so than 2008, 9, 10, 11. And then in 2014 or so, you started seeing more of these crashes. And you could see the correlation between what's happening nationwide and in our community. Crashes are going back up again.
So what's happening, Doctor?
I think part of that is, in traffic safety community, we were sort of happy to see the crashes go down back when, I think that was the Great Recession, basically reduced the amount of driving that was happening, reduced the amount of travel, and that reduces your overall exposure. And that brought down some crashes, I think. And then as the driving went up, I think there are more distractions. That's certainly part of it. Right. And then when more driving started to happen, the crashes started to go up again. And I think things are changing. There are some communities across the country that I'm familiar with, or at least one community, where the number of crashes is actually going down. I think they must be doing something right. These are only pockets. I think the overall trend is, again, crashes starting to go up. We're hoping that this will reverse in some ways through the research that we do and through the work that traffic engineers and traffic researchers do around the country, around the world.
What were your initial impressions 11 years ago, traffic-wise, when you came to the Central Coast?
Okay, so I moved from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
The traffic was just nuts over there.
Yeah, sure.
And they built all the toll roads and you pay the toll and it's okay. But still, the traffic here was a pleasant, thing to experience. There was basically no traffic to speak of. And we lived about, when we moved here, we lived about 5 miles from campus up on Los Osos Valley Road. You could zip in and out of the campus very quickly. And then about a year and a half into it, we moved to Atascadero. Traffic was still pretty good. The traffic, by the way, from our house in Atascadero to campus wasn't really terrible, but it was starting to get worse. That's something that I didn't notice.
See, before you came here, we only had two lanes on the Cuesta Grade.
I know that.
And Those were the days.
Yes, and actually, in my traffic engineering class, I have some data on how the truck speeds were measured along that grade going forward up on the grade. I have some old data that one of our older professors had collected, and they shared that data with me. I still use that data to this day just to demonstrate what happens to trucks and how they slow down and how they slow back the traffic down. So yeah, I have that data from all of those days. One of my students did an emissions study on when the Cuesta grade was only two lanes and then how their emissions went down when it expanded to three lanes.
What typically happens when you add a third lane like that?
You know, this is a good question, because the answer for a long time in traffic engineering community, we thought only good things happen when we add the third lane. You know, we always thought when we expand the road, we are going to take care of the problem. And I think on Cuesta grade, we probably did good. You know, we expanded the lanes, and that helped with the emissions because the trucks was the issue. But I think in general, widening the road is not the answer because of something what we call the induced demand.
The induced demand.
Yeah, the induced demand. The idea of induced demand is that when you make infrastructure better, more people come in. And then more people start to use it, and you want to use it, your neighbor wants to use it, and everybody uses it. And then the traffic, you're back to that same situation, or even worse in some cases. There is a term for that called Bryce's paradox, if somebody wants to read up on that. It basically is a very interesting idea, and they tried that in New York City. What happens is that sometime when you take away a road from the network for vehicular traffic, that can sometimes improve things. So that's a very interesting idea. I didn't do it this year, but I usually do an outreach lab with high school students where I show them that idea. And I hope that blows somebody's mind.
Yeah.
It blew my mind when I understood.
I know we're going to talk about roundabouts in a little bit, but I would love to ask about what I go through and our listeners go through a lot, and that's the Shell Beach Straits. You come around the curve into Shell Beach, and every night, Doctor, there's a backup.
Yes.
Without exception.
Right.
That's the worst traffic spot in the county.
Yes, possibly. I haven't studied it, so I don't know. I don't know if it's really the worst, but
right.
But
let's just say it is for the sake of discussion.
Yeah, and maybe you, since you go through that every day, so I'll call it the worst one because you had to experience it, right? Okay. So, see, that's another thing about traffic. I'll get to that spot in a minute.
Right.
But you know, when you think of congestion, we think of our problem as the congestion. We think everybody else is in our way. But we are in somebody else's way.
That's so right.
That's how you have to think about traffic. We are in each other's way in that way. So that spot, I think that's a tricky spot. I think when you go around the bend, you start to see the ocean. So I'm sure there are a few drivers that get, you know, maybe not every day who do that every day, but there is one new person who's, and I, you know, that's an awesome, awesome, awesome view from there. So even I sometimes catch myself just getting a glimpse of that when I'm around the bend. So that happens, I'm sure. That's part of it. But you know, it's just, you know, you just have too many cars going to the South County. I know, you know, in SLO, the housing is expensive. So a lot of people, so this is all related, right?
Sure.
And I'm not a planner, urban planner, but I do work with planners. I think traffic engineers do have to work with planners. But that's the idea that, you know, because people choose to live further out because then they can afford more land. And that brings traffic. I mean, there is just no way around it. Like, you know,
and the infrastructure doesn't keep up with that.
It's hard to keep up with the infrastructure because if you build the road, yes, you can keep up with it for a while. But then again, that induced demand comes in, and then more people want to live further out. And I don't know if that's really the answer. It may be in some communities, but not everywhere.
Plenty to discuss as we focus on traffic this hour. We'll be back with our guest after these messages, and we want to talk with the professor about the issue of roundabouts. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're Hometown Radio. Live 19 on Newstalk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. On Monday, Bruce Sanborn is going to join us. He owns the Downtown Center movie theater. And we're going to talk about what's happened to movie theater business. Also, Robert Scarola talks about what's happening with healthcare. We're here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5 Newstalk KVEC. This hour, we're talking about traffic. We've got an expert on here as we are back with a Cal Poly professor, teaches in the civil engineering program, Dr. Anurag Pandey. And Dr. Pondy, as we come back to you, you're encouraging people to contact you through Twitter after the show. And the handle I have for you is at polyprof, P-A-N-D-E.
Yep, that's right, Dave.
And what are you hoping to hear from people regarding?
You know, I would love to just engage some folks about, like, if you notice a local traffic issue that, you want more information on, just follow me on Twitter, and I will try to reach out. Just at me with that issue, and as I get time, I will try to respond. It will just be a fun way of identifying issues that, community is seeking answer to, and hopefully we can maybe at least educate people and learn about local issues, educate myself, and at the same time educate folks about the profession, and sure, then maybe try to find some solutions along the way.
So on Twitter, polyprof, P-O-N-D-E.
P-A-N-D-E.
Oh, sorry, I apologize. P-A-N-D-E. We'll give that out a couple times, at least until Dave gets it right. So I want to talk about roundabouts. Big article, the Tribune, City of San Luis Obispo. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 roundabouts. In Arroyo Grande, they're talking about roundabouts. They were talking about them up at Atascadero, but I guess that's not going to go through now. I don't know.
Right.
Why roundabouts, Doctor?
Right. So roundabouts, I think there are some answers in the article itself, but I would probably try to make it a little bit more vivid with the spoken word. But the idea of roundabout is, think about it this way. When you have a four-legged intersection, you know, the alternative, the usual alternative to the roundabout, you have a traffic signal, four legs of roads meeting at one point. The crash that happens on that, a T-bone crash, imagine that. It's just very severe in nature. Now, think right. about the same thing happening. Basically, you know, imagine this, right? So somebody making a mistake on a four-legged intersection by running a signal, for example, and somebody making a mistake at the roundabout while not paying attention, kind of bumping into somebody. Think about the intensity of those two crashes. Hmm. Which one would be more severe? In general, more often than not, the statistics tell us, and experience tells us too, is that the crash on the four-legged intersection would be way more severe and leads much more likelihood of being having a traffic fatality or a severe injury. And on roundabout, the crashes. And then the other thing is that if you think about, if you draw a diagram of where the movements, the different movements that are coming into a four-legged intersections coming in and intersect, there are way more conflict points where the collisions could happen.
Right.
Way more on a four-legged intersection versus way fewer on a roundabout. And even those that exist on a roundabout are likely to lead to way lower severe collisions,
so
more fender benders.
What does the data show?
The data actually show that, and that data point is actually in the Tribune article as well, and I know of that. The Federal Highway Administration has done a lot of research, and they have shown that the roundabout lead to 37% reduction in crashes and 51% reduction in injury crashes.
37% reduction in crashes, 51% reduction in injury crashes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dave, one more thing I would say is that I keep using the term crashes, and that's deliberate because, you know, the Federal Highway Administration went through this very big campaign of informing engineers and around the country, really, to use the term crashes, because when we say the term accident, yeah, that sounds like, you know, it's some act of some higher power.
Right.
Then we could do nothing about it. It's just an accident.
Just an accident.
No. Things are not accident. I think it's in our power to prevent crashes, and we should be more careful about using the term crashes, and that's why I keep using that term, crashes.
Last year I was in Iceland. They're huge on roundabouts. Mm-hmm. I know on the East Coast they're big with roundabouts. And yet, Doctor, I swear every time I mention roundabouts, oh, I hate them. I hate roundabouts. I love them.
Right.
I don't know why I'm in the minority on that.
I think roundabouts could be polarizing. So you are actually with the majority of the traffic engineering community.
Now, uh-huh.
I think so. So I don't know what that tells us about you, but you know. but in general, I think there is a very big agreement, and they may not be right for every location. You know, mm-hmm. So there are places where, you know, the traffic might be, you know, the traffic patterns might not support roundabout. You might not have enough right of way to build a roundabout. You might not have the resources to actually put in a roundabout because they can be expensive to acquire the land and all that.
More expensive than a stoplight?
Sometimes when you have to acquire the land.
Okay.
Yeah, but in the long run, they might be cheaper because then you don't have to maintain the signal. So, but the initial cost of putting in a roundabout could be a little bit higher on the front end. But in the long run, they might be cheaper to run. So that's that trade-off may be there. And again, we always do a very significant benefit-cost analysis too. So now, why people hate them? Now, I think that part of that is just unfamiliarity. I think that as you build more, people get more familiar. I think there is even some research. I don't remember who did that research off the top of my head. And that's a sin in academia, by the way. You know, anytime you cite a research, you want to be able to cite the author.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling terrible about this right now.
Just say Congleton. When in doubt.
That works on your
Congleton,
radio show,
right? Yeah.
So, but you know, there is some real research out there that, you know, people who started driving the roundabout initially didn't like it. But as they did that more often for longer periods, people started to appreciate the roundabout. So there is some of that. So
is there a downside to roundabouts? Any negatives?
If they're not implemented properly, they could have some downsides for sure. You know, you want to be there's some research that has shown, and but that research that we did was more in the developing country context. But we've seen that they might have if they're not implemented properly, there could be some issues around bicyclists and so on and so forth. But you have to be obviously, you know, you have to study it for that particular location. So if you badly implement anything, it has downsides.
But assuming that all things are planned properly, a roundabout is inherently safer than the traditional four-way
yes.
intersection.
I think answer on that question, there's no doubt in my mind that the answer on that question is yes.
And I would also point out, Doctor, that at least on the Central Coast, we're starting to embrace roundabouts more than we did 10 years ago.
Definitely. I think there is way more roundabouts than there used to be. I think I think Santa Barbara had initially had some roundabouts there. There are more and more roundabouts coming on because, you know, we know that they are safer. And Caltrans wouldn't implement anything that they know to be not safe.
My only problem with the roundabout is when you have like four or five roads, I've got to remember which one I turn on.
Yes, and I think that's but you know, if you're a commuter, then you would know which one to turn on.
Exactly.
For unfamiliar drivers, obviously that's an issue. And again, as people keep driving on those types of infrastructure, those types of roundabouts, I think people become more familiar with those, and then things get better.
Right. And then with the driverless car, that's going to change traffic altogether.
Oh, I was not prepared to answer.
Yeah, no, but I'm just, this has occurred to me. You know, you and I are talking about how we drive.
Yes.
But down the road, it's all going to be driverless. So, hey, whatever. Yeah. Ponder that thought as we go to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig Hill will update you on our traffic situation. And then we'll continue our conversation with Cal Poly professor Dr. Anurag Pandey. And we will take your phone calls about traffic. Stick around. This is Hometown Radio. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. During this 6 o'clock hour, it's Friday night, so time for last call. Our Friday night open line, whatever's on your mind, we'll give you a chance to call in and talk about it. This hour, we're talking about traffic and traffic patterns. Cal Poly professor Dr. Anurag Pandey on this broadcast. He has lived on the Central Coast for nearly 11 years, most of that spent commuting from Atascadero down to Cal Poly. Now he lives in town. But I bet even in San Luis Obispo, Doctor, as we come back to you, traffic is becoming complicated.
Oh, yeah. Traffic is way worse than I remember it from 2008 when I moved in here. And, you know, now I live right across from my daughter's school. So that was one issue that we had in Atascadero. We used to live about 7 minutes from my daughter's school. But with traffic, we were spending like maybe 45 minutes every day, drop off and then come back and pick up and then come back and... It was just, you know, nightmare. And then and now we live right across, so our daughter can just walk to school, and that's great. But this summer, my daughter is going to Los Ranchos Elementary School for some summer camp.
Mm.
And boy, that traffic that on 227, that's just a nightmare. And I sometimes I feel that, you know, what are we going to do about this? And just going there, it just reminded me of traffic and in some ways, I feel like it's even worse than Orlando, because Orlando, I was used to it, and now I'm not used to it. And going there now in the summer for like 2 weeks, just terrible.
We're talking traffic. We invite your phone calls as we open up the phone lines. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. A question I've been dying to ask somebody for a long time, and you're just the perfect person. Why is it that there can be an accident northbound 101, and I'm southbound 101, the accident isn't on my side, but traffic is backed up on my side?
Right. So did you how do you know that there's a crash on the other side?
Well, eventually I find out as I get there.
Right. So you look, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the answer, right? People are, as they're driving by the crash site, again, I'm going to keep using the term crash here. As people are driving by the crash site, they cannot look away. We have to look what's going on. And we take that one glance, we slow down. It's the same thing that sometimes happens with us looking at our cell phone. Just take one glance, you slow down. You slow the person behind you down. There's a very interesting YouTube video where they created how people just cannot drive at the same speed. People have a hard time driving at the same speed. They recreated that, and it's called shockwave in the traffic parlance. Is that, you know, you have people slowing down, and then the person behind you slow down, and then just from that one glance. And what they created in Japan is that they had people drive around in a circle at a constant speed, and people just couldn't do it. Eventually, what started to happen was that there was some gaps became too small, some gaps became too large between cars, and that's what we see on our roadways. When one person slows down, it slows everybody down for miles.
All right, let's take a call. Bob's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Bob.
I wanted to ask your traffic expert there if he thought a roundabout is appropriate at all intersections, or if you think there are certain intersections where roundabouts may not be the best situation or the best solution.
Yeah, fair question.
Yeah, that could happen. That you could, anytime you get into a place where you have to have more than two lanes inside a roundabout, that could get tricky, because then, you know, you start to have more complicated traffic patterns inside a roundabout. That's just one situation that I can think of off the top of my head. But, you know, any location, you know, what you want to do is you want to study it carefully, and you want to look at it, what the traffic patterns are going in, what is the, where the people are coming in, where people are going from, are coming from and going to at that location. And then you kind of do a study of that. And once you figure out what it's going to look like in terms of your delays, your emissions, your potential of crashes, all of those things, you study it, and then you make the decision. So individual locations have to be studied before you implement anything. But what we have seen is that in general, you should consider a roundabout for sure for a study. You just should not dismiss it out of hand, because in general, that's a much safer solution.
Bob, what do you think of traffic roundabouts?
Well, we've got one scheduled for my street coming up. We've had a issue with our street becoming a de facto arterial with a lot of increase in traffic due to the high school. And our neighboring street solved its traffic dilemma problem by reducing to one lane, and they put in three speed bumps and a crosswalk traffic hump. So if you go down that street at 18 to 20 miles an hour, you just glide over those traffic humps, and that keeps the speed down, and it's also reduced the amount of traffic. On our street, they want to take out the one speed crosswalk hump situation and put a roundabout in, and I think it's kind of a weird solution based on the fact that we have one lane in each direction on the de facto arterial. The cross intersection is a one lane in each direction street that has a dedicated stop sign now, and there's not a whole lot of cross traffic usually.
All right, so what's the question, Bob?
Well, my question is, it just doesn't seem like that's an appropriate use of a roundabout.
Yeah. I obviously haven't studied the situation, so I couldn't say anything definitively, but I think roundabout actually works it would work well. In fact, it would actually slow traffic down as well. So properly designed roundabouts are actually different than what we call traffic circles. So traffic circles and roundabout are not interchangeable.
What's the
terms.
Difference?
The difference is that when we talk about the modern roundabouts, as traffic engineers know them, we have something called some speed control measure. So we basically have the road getting into the roundabout a little bit curved.
I see.
So that everybody who's getting into the roundabout slows down. And that's why, it might actually slow traffic down when you implement the roundabout.
All right, Bob, thank you. We have Michelle in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, I just want to say thank you so much for bringing up the point about why traffic slows down on the opposite side of the freeway. So a year ago, when I was at the Mid-State Fair, and I couldn't resist myself talking to the highway patrol, and I asked this cop point blank, I said, if the traffic accident is on the opposite side of the freeway, are we required to slow down? And she said, no. It is the looky-loos that do this.
They're rubbernecking.
So
yeah.
Maybe we should put a billboard up on the freeway to educate the public. If there's a traffic accident on the other side of the freeway, don't slow down. We got to educate people, because I'm thinking a lot of people, there's this slow down if you have an emergency on the side of the road, somebody's towing, or you see a flashing light from a cop pulling someone over. And I think people are automatically assuming, oh, it's a traffic accident and on the other side, and they think they have to slow down, because I personally wasn't sure. So I checked, and the CHP says, no, you don't have to slow down. Yeah. And that's my pet peeve also, because sometimes they'll make people late for no reason at all.
Absolutely.
So, yes,
Doctor,
educate people. Thank you for bringing this up.
All right, Michelle, thanks for calling in. Any thoughts, Doctor?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know, because that's probably because I knew that you're not required to slow down. I'm not sure. See, that's a good learning point for me, that I learned that sometimes people just think they have to slow down. I did not know that. I thought that was all instinct, just people looking into it. But if that is the case, maybe we need to educate the public better. I don't know if putting a sign on the road is a good idea, or is it the best idea?
Listen to the show. Mm-hmm. We'll educate them. Let's hear from Tony in San Luis. Hey, Tony.
Hey, the last caller was a good one. You could actually have a billboard with a rubber chicken that says rubber necks are for chickens only. don't. Anyway, that wasn't what I called for. But what I can't wait for, because I work down in San Luis, Orchid Broad, and I was thinking about Laurel Lane and so forth, and you got Bang the Drum that's going to be torn down. They're going to put apartments there. You got that great big, humongous development going in off of, where is it? Anyway, Johnson. And so that's going to be really congested here pretty soon. And they took those two lanes and made a bike lane, and then one lane on each way. That's going to be a traffic nightmare when all this stuff hits.
You know what he's talking about, Doctor?
I have an idea, and that's a general point too, right? So anytime we take away traffic lanes and put in bike lanes, it would be a traffic nightmare. Maybe not, right? It's the same idea. It's the flip side of the induced demand that I talked about, right? So it's possible that there would be some people who would feel more comfortable biking now, who are driving today. So we have to think about the flip side of the induced demand here as well. So we cannot be so sure that it would be a traffic nightmare. In general, we have to provide options for all of our transportation modes. And there might be changes in people's behavior, and that you're probably not accounting for.
Tony, go ahead.
It's a hell of a bike lane on Laurel Lane. I mean, they literally took one big lane and made it into a bike lane, which is wonderful if you have all those bikes. But I mean, I hate to be biased like that, but a lot of people don't ride bikes. And I'm not saying that it's not right, but do you have to have that much space?
Right. And then this is a little bit of a chicken and the egg thing, right? So unless you have the bike lane, people don't bike. And then if you don't put in the bike lanes, then people don't bike. So we have to start somewhere, and hopefully more people start to bike, and things get a little bit better for the traffic as well at the same time.
All right, Tony, thanks for calling in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We're talking traffic. We're talking roundabouts. What's on your mind? Greg is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
It's like too much blood, not enough arteries. You get high blood pressure. But you got to think of the sheer numbers going on. I mean, the growth we have. I mean, there's so many building projects going on in each one of those. A lot of people from out of town are coming in to work on them, so they're driving work trucks, and that slows everything down. And you got Cal Poly students, 20,000 of them, and most of them have cars. You know, and you got the jail right there, and those guys getting off work. And so there's just a lot of people being put into a smaller area, and as they build and develop more and more and more and more, it's going to get worse. So that's, we asked for it, we're getting it. Thanks, Heidi.
I think he's referring to our mayor. Okay.
You like that?
Yeah, doctor, any comments?
You know, it's a beautiful area. How do you, you know, how do you have people not moving in here, right? So it's just, people love it. The weather's great. No humidity to speak of.
Yeah, but if you put in the infrastructure beforehand, I mean, like when they did that big development on Madonna with the Home Depot and all that, they didn't plan properly for that, and it's still a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And now they have that Rancho, what is that, San Luis right there, and that big, you know, right next to the Madonna. They didn't plan for that properly. Wait till that's, what, 500-something homes going in there? They're not ready for that. There's another huge project out there by Tank Farm. They're not ready for that. Where that roundabout is you're talking about, they weren't ready for that. So they're not planning ahead, you know. They're just thinking money, and they're just going for the tax dollars to pad their pensions. And, you know, they have no parking. I live near the downtown. Forget parking. You know, if I have people to come see me, there's nowhere to park for them. You know, so people pulling in and out of parallel parking, that creates even more slowdowns. I mean, it's very, very poor planning, very poor engineering. You know, so if you're a teacher, you better teach your students to, like, plan ahead, you know?
All right, Greg, thank you.
I think some collaboration between engineers and planners have to happen. I think that's starting to happen more and more in our profession. Hopefully that'll help address that. But, you know, it's hard to control the growth, so...
Let's go to Danny down in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, Danny.
Hi. I have the distinction of living on a street that had a traffic circle experiment, and they took it out. So,
and why did they take it out?
Well, the neighbors on the other streets didn't like it, and we're left that would have to deal with the speeders.
Right.
It was on Tejas.
What did you think of it, Danny?
I loved it. I'm the one that was pushing the hardest for it. Hmm. There had to be something done with this street before somebody gets run over.
Yeah. Yeah, roundabout do help in slowing people down. And I don't know if your traffic circle was a modern roundabout or not, but if it's properly designed, it has to have some measures of slowing people down by having some curved road coming in. So some curvature on the road. So people slow down.
It worked for me, but somebody decided they didn't like it.
Are they going to do anything instead, Danny?
Not that I'm aware of.
Hmm. So how bad is the situation in your neighborhood?
Well, the speed limit's 25 miles an hour, and people are coming through here at over 60 miles an hour because of how nice and wide the street is.
Danny, I have an opinion about speed limit, and that's just my personal opinion. I haven't based it on a lot of expertise. I haven't done a lot of research on it myself. I'll just throw it out there. I think our highway speed limits are too low on the major highways. They are too low. And our city, you know, community speed limits, they're too high. So in general, I think on highways, we probably can afford a little bit higher speed limits, obviously,
80?
Depending on the design.
80, 85?
I would be okay with that. But again, you have to look at the specific sections of the road.
Sure.
But I think we are... In general, those are too low. And on the cities, in the city streets, in urban context, in community context, 25, maybe even 25 miles an hour near school, to my judgment, that's too high.
Anything else, Danny?
I agree with the professor. He's doing a great show tonight. Thank you.
All right, Danny. Thanks for being part of it. We will come back for a final segment with our guest, Cal Poly professor, Dr. Anurag Pandey, talking about the traffic situation and traffic in general and roundabouts and all sorts of things. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here's some reasons to check out Spencer's this weekend. On sale, beef tri-tips or extra lean ground beef, either one, doesn't matter, $3.99 a pound. It's summertime, so how about a large whole seedless watermelon? You can go to Spencer's and get one for $3.99. You can also get green or red grapes, either one, 99 cents a pound. Also on sale this weekend, summer fruit. It doesn't matter. Nectarines, peaches, plums, they're all there. 2 pounds for $3. I am also seeing being featured at Spencer's. Speaking of great fruit, how about sweet blueberries? 2 packs for $3. Juicy cantaloupe, 2 for $3 as well. You can also get apple sausage, $4.99 a pound. Chicken drumsticks, 99 cents a pound. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's. In Morro Bay and Santa Maria, Spencer's Fresh Markets. Always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, The Dave Congleton Show. This is The Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Great guest, important topic. All we're missing is your phone call. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please, as we talk about traffic. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. I'm particularly curious what you think of these traffic roundabouts that are being proposed up and down the Central Coast. Are you in favor of these roundabouts? And you just heard the professor talk about the idea that if he could, he would increase the allowable speed in some places on our highways. So this is one of those topics that everybody has an opinion on. What's yours? 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. My guest continues to be Cal Poly Civil Engineering Professor Dr. Anurag Pandey. And let's remind folks, they can contact you on Twitter. Your handle is PolyProf. Spell your last name, please, Professor.
P as in Peter, A-N-D-E, Pandey.
All right. So
PolyProf Pandey.
We got Jennifer and Oceano on KVEC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jennifer. And hi to your guests.
Hi.
I don't really have an opinion about roundabouts, but I did have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
And so I drive out Buckley Road to 227 reasonably often. And the other night I went that direction and made the mistake of doing it at, like, I don't know, 4:15. And the traffic was already ridiculously backed up down Buckley Road trying to get on to 227 there. And I just started thinking about the fact that all those other new homes are going to be headed, you know, going in down that way. And do they have any provision for what's going to happen there? I mean, there's a light there, but it takes, you know, once you're in commute hours, it takes probably 3 rounds of waiting through the light before you finally get close enough to the light to get through it.
Yeah.
And if they add, you know, if they double the number of cars waiting, that's going to just go way down Buckley Road. I'm just wondering, do they have that? How are they factoring that in?
You aware of anything, Professor?
I think they're looking at that roundabout to encourage more continuous flow. And I know Buckley Road because, as I mentioned, summer camp, I tried that route too, and that's even worse because I go to Los Ranchos for my daughter's summer camp, and I tried that route. That was a mistake. Yeah, so yeah, they're obviously aware of it, and then they look at the roundabout, they look at all the traffic patterns there. I think they're going to look at that as a problem. But again, you know, if you're going to have people living in the city anywhere, you know, that's bound to happen. I don't know what the solution would look like. I haven't personally studied it. But yeah, that's a big problem. And when they build the roundabout, they are going to look at that issue, and hopefully the delay will be smaller than what it is today.
Jennifer?
Well, wait, you're saying they might actually put a roundabout out on 227 there?
Yeah, that's the idea, right? So they're looking at those 5 or 6 roundabouts on 227.
Right, 227.
Wow, but people are traveling 50 miles an hour.
They won't. That's the idea, that when you approach the roundabout, you slow down.
Interesting, I see. Okay,
But Jennifer, the other thing is that they're not traveling at 50 miles an hour. They're crawling.
Listen to the rest of the show. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Jennifer, thank you. Do you need to leave at 6, or could you stay a few extra minutes?
I can leave a few extra minutes, sure. I can do that, yeah.
I got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go to Stephen in Napomo on KVEC. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're good, Stephen. What's on your mind?
Aside from the roundabouts, have they looked at two things, actually. Aside from the roundabout, have they looked at possibly making those lights a little bit longer? the ones yeah. coming from 227, those, because there's a lot of traffic coming through there.
Right.
Yeah.
And the through traffic, I would go about looking at possibly making those green lights stay a little bit longer, because the other traffic, there's not that much people coming through compared to the one on Buckley. So have they, or on 227, I'm sorry, so have they looked at that as an option?
I don't know if they've looked at it, because I personally haven't studied it, that particular location, but the idea is that, yeah, so if you make the lights longer, it's not a solution to everything, right? So I mean, you make the light longer, you have to take the time away from somewhere, right? If you give 227 the priority, you're going to take away from Buckley Road, and as we said, the Buckley Road slowdown, that, you know, you have to wait like 3, 4, 5 lights, so it's just a trade-off then. So you're prolonging the misery there in some ways on the other side. So
extending the lights wouldn't make any difference. It would make it worse.
I don't know if it'll make... Yeah, so you're basically shifting the problem. You're not solving the problem, right? So
would the roundabouts make it better? Wouldn't that slow things down even more? I mean, you're already having people stop. So.
No, I think in roundabout, you don't have to stop. So I think the biggest problem is that in signal, everybody has to stop and then pick back up from zero. And then there is... For every signal cycle, there is something what we call the lost time. So there is a startup lost time when you begin. So when the light turns green, the traffic doesn't start to move like that instant, right? It takes about, you lose every cycle, you lose some time.
All right, Stephen, thank you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to ABC Radio News. Craig has a traffic update. We're going to give the professor a couple minutes, and then we'll do our open line. Stick around. I'm Dave Congleton.